Hi and welcome to Outspoken. You're joined by journalists Sophie, Kate and Amy Torber. Coming up on today's episode, how TikTok's changing the fame game, the sponsored math split that's left fans furious, and what in fact is a certified ass? Well, officially welcome back, Kate and Sophie. I know you couldn't join me on my solo episode, which was very strange. It is nice to have you back despite our little fight beforehand. We've got to be honest, don't we? It wasn't quite Kardashian-esque fight, but we did have a little fight before.
I mean, I only punched Sophie in the face. I'm joking.
I feel like it's a ritual to have a fight before these podcasts, though. Everyone gets their aggression out.
I'm always just worried that we'll somehow leave the fight in the podcast. That's my biggest fear.
I feel like we've got to start playing netball again because that was how we were getting our aggression out. And now that we're in isolation, there's not much more that we can get our aggression out other than arguing with each other.
We did have a nice day yesterday. There was no arguments yesterday. It was our dad's birthday and he was so cute. But we actually ended up having to explain to him what the term "it's a mood" is.
Well, because Kate uploaded, we bought him some balloons and Kate uploaded an Instagram of his reaction to receiving these balloons. And anyone who knows our dad, he dresses in a uniform of tracksuits and he's quite a heavy smoker. Anyway, he was out on the veranda having a smoke and he just had like no reaction to the fact that these balloons, he had a slight smile on his face, which was so cute. And one of your friends, Kate, sent you that our dad was a mood. So you tried to explain that to him.
He thought you were saying a moog or something, like with a G on the end, not a D.
It did just sound like Sophie said that, though. You're not really pronouncing mood.
Well, what fascinated me was the fact that none of our boyfriends knew what a mood was either, which made me think, is this just a girl's thing?
Well, just for some people who might be listening that don't know what a mood is, can any of you guys actually explain it?
Well, I actually went to Urban Dictionary to give a more thorough explanation. It says, if something is especially relatable, one might say big mood. This implies that your whole being is one and the same with whatever you are commenting on. So it's more like if someone looks pissed off and you're feeling pissed off, you're like, that's a mood.
So dad's basically 2020, his mood, I feel like.
We'll have to put it up on the Instagram story so people can see if they also think it's a mood.
Now let's move on to our first topic, which is all about TikTok. And I know during quarantine, every man and his dog seems to have created a TikTok account. Have you guys got onto the TikTok train?
Well, I discovered today when I logged onto the app that I actually have two accounts. It's like Kate Torber and Kate Torber 1. And I was like, how did this even happen? Because I remember setting the first one up.
Is this just a cheeky plug to get TikTok followers?
No, not at all, because I haven't posted anything. I kind of found it really weird because as a 31-year-old, we've obviously lived without having social media, but we've also remember living through the rise of Facebook and then Instagram and then Snapchat. So for me, I thought TikTok would be one of those apps that kind of just fell to the wayside. I really don't get it. And I'm finding it interesting that most people that are on it and that are popular are around 15.
It's crazy. I feel like the rise of TikTok has just come out of nowhere and it does seem quite convenient at the moment that we're all in lockdown. So really people have nothing to do but create TikToks. I mean, TikTok was created by a Chinese organization. I don't know, that there might be, maybe there's a bit of a conspiracy theory out there, but a lot of teenagers are stuck inside and it has grown, I think it said, by 15% in America over 1 week, the amount of downloads. They've almost reached 2 billion active users. And to put that into perspective, it took Instagram 8 years to reach that amount of followers and WhatsApp 5 years. So it's incredible how many active users the site actually has.
I've got to disagree because I'm not really surprised about the growth of TikTok. I've been hearing for the last year that it's going to take off and that people should get on there now if they do want to create a following. And it seems like the perfect time, as you said, for people to get on it because everyone's so bored.
Do you think though that now everyone is leaping onto the platform, it's going to be like Facebook and sort of Instagram and start having a demise? Because I feel like once everyone thinks it's a cool thing, then the app is flooded with really annoying shit content.
I don't think so. I think people are going to start jumping off Instagram, to be honest, because I feel like people are getting a little bit sick about the type of content people are posting on Instagram, all the curated feeds. And it will be interesting to see how Instagram actually responds to the popularity of TikTok.
It is interesting you say that, because that was one point that Hayley Sharp, a popular TikToker from America, was saying. She was saying that all of her friends, and they're around 15, are now not wanting to go on Instagram because it's so curated and there's just memes that they've already seen before, and also TikToks and tweets that they've already seen being reshared on the app.
It's kind of like when you grow up with something that you see older people or your family on, I feel like it kind of becomes a bit corny. I feel like it's almost that people are like rolling their eyes at Instagram because it's something that they grew up with when they were little and it really hasn't evolved in their mindset.
Well, talking about the demographic of TikTok and the fact that people that have grown up with Instagram now are moving to TikTok, 40% of its audience are believed to be under 20 and a further 26% are believed to be under 30. So it just shows the demographic that are currently on there and what a massive hit that is for Instagram.
God, that is such a massive blow to Instagram. And it has been really interesting looking at how different social media apps have been responding to the growth of TikTok. For instance, YouTube is about to launch a new short form video sharing feature, and it basically lives inside the feed, and it's very, very similar to TikTok. So it's a lot of short form videos that creators are being urged to make.
Well, we saw Instagram do that in response to the popularity of Snapchat. To me, it kind of just seems a little bit desperate. Do you guys think it will actually work?
No, I actually think it will work, because obviously when Instagram introduced their Insta stories to rival Snapchat, I actually saw a huge decline in people using Snapchat for the story sharing feature. I remember when influencers started sharing their TikTok videos, in particular Sammy Robinson, all of the miming was out of sync. And I feel like that was purposely done by Instagram so the platform wouldn't look as good.
That's a really good point. Well, one group that is doing insanely well on TikTok is the Hype House, and I'd only heard of them recently. So can you fill us in? Because I'm sure a lot of people have no idea who these people are.
Well, my little cousin, Stewie, told us about this. He's 21. So basically the Hype House is where 20 of the biggest TikTok stars in the world live, and it is in a huge LA mansion. So four of the members live there full time while the rest come and go. And that is because the house is made up of such young TikTok stars. So you have to be of age to be able to live in this house. And the idea is that they film at the same location and basically all of this drama unfolds. So the Hype House was created by two influencers, Chase Hudson, who is only 17, and Thomas Petru, who is 21. So they jumped on this phenomenon, which has been rolled out across a lot of other social media platforms. So a number of years ago, I think it was 2014, Vine had a house that was similar. It was this collaboration house and it was called 1600 Vine Street. And of course, a lot of people will have heard of YouTube's houses. And one was run by, of course, the infamous Jake Paul, which was Team 10. And there was also another one called the Vlog Squad, which is a bit of a lame name.
Sounds like the Vlog Squad.
Well, interestingly, the New York Times actually did a major piece on the Hype House. And the pictures really disturbed me because the people in them, the influencers, looked so young. Like, they're literally 15. In this piece, they interviewed a YouTube expert. And he was quoted as saying, "It's a brilliant move for power players on those platforms to lift each other up. Elevate others to elevate yourselves is a saying. And it really rings true with this new generation of TikTokers. From a management perspective, it's great. It just means all the kids will focus on content." And the fact that he called them kids, it just showed how exploitive it seems to be. I know it's two 20-year-olds that have set the house up, but I felt dirty looking at it and seeing what was going on.
It does seem a bit predatory. And so if you mentioned the Team 10 house that was set up by Jake Paul, and I only found this out today, that they got all this funding from people like Gary Vee and another Chinese company to have their Team 10 house set up. Do you know who's actually funding the Hype House?
Well, unlike Team 10, the Hype House actually don't take a cut of anyone's money, which is, I think, a big difference to a lot of the collab houses as well.
Well, the details are very sketchy because I did search who is paying for the house, how is money being made?
Yeah.
And all the information that I could find is that apparently each person living in the house pays $900 a month to live there, which is quite low rent.
Well, there's all this money being splashed for this house, but how do they actually make money off TikTok? Because it's different to Instagram and YouTube, isn't it?
Well, it is interesting because you rarely do see product placements and advertisements in TikToks as you would in Instagram. And because it is such a relatively new platform, brands and marketing managers haven't really jumped on board. But there is this really weird feature where if TikTokers go live, they can make this kind of virtual Bitcoin money from fans.
Well, yeah, it's called digital gifting.
What is really interesting is reading some of these New York Times pieces and other interviews with TikTok stars. It is quite evident from the onset that a lot of these kids know that TikTok is viewed as being relatively temporary. So a lot of these kids are using it as a stepping stone to a YouTube career or to a career on Instagram, because really you can make a lot of money on YouTube through AdSense, through product placements, through making up your own merchandise.
Well, the more I hear about it, the more it just makes me suspicious that somebody is behind the hype house and someone is paying for the people. Because if the people living in the house are only mainly they're all just popular on TikTok and they're not making any money from it.
Well, the people behind the hype house are the two creators. Because no, but they you're came saying, up with the idea
I know,
from
but
Logan
you're
Paul.
Saying that they've Sorry, got Jake to, Paul. I know, but you're saying they've got to pay rent. So it makes me think that maybe other people are paying the rent and they're there as the commodity to potentially make money in the future.
No, I think they're actually all using each other. So for example, Chase, who's actually known as Little Huddy, he is dating Charli D'Amelio, who is the number one followed person on TikTok. Now, she's 15 and she looks 15 and she has over 46 million followers. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to all get together and then use each other's followers to get more followers for themselves.
Now, before we get into all the drama that's unfolding, maybe we should talk about what makes the perfect TikTok house. Because this house is insane.
Yeah, well, from what I read when they were looking for the house, they were looking for very natural light that they could film the videos in. And of course, they needed massive bathrooms because we always see people dancing in mirrors in bathrooms.
Aren't there rules as well in terms of how much content you have to make? Is that true?
Yeah, there's very strict rules. So you have to be making daily content or you'll get kicked out of the house.
God, can you imagine some of the YouTubers? Like, I've not seen one video from Michael Finch the whole time. Like, he'd be kicked out.
Well, the creators also can have friends over, but there's not allowed to be any parties. They want it to be everyone concentrating on creating content, which really shows how much it is a business. It's not just some fun party house.
It does seem a bit cult-like, and I'm kind of questioning. I know that there are only 4 full-time members living in their house, but the 16 other children that are underage, I kind of question, like, who is allowing their kids to go and live in this house?
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, I'm so sick of it. It's like, these are actually children. Why are we treating them like adults? I think it's perverse that some of them have 46 million people following them. Are some of them pedophiles?
It's very creepy.
Because, I mean, I had a look at this girl. She's the number one, as I spoke about it before, Charli, the number one most followed person on TikTok. And her first video she put up, she was miming to a song calling people hoes. She then also always has her stomach out and her legs out, wearing really short shorts, dancing very provocatively. And they're acting like she's an adult. And I'm like, this girl's 15.
Even at 31, I would feel weird following a 15-year-old.
I felt weird watching her videos because I was like, I want to see what this is all about. And I scrolled to the last one and I was like, I actually don't get it because this girl is a professional dancer, apparently. But they were all such, like, it was all so lame. I couldn't see a difference between her and someone that's got 100 followers. I just don't understand how it happens and how it takes off like that.
I think it's because they actually create the dances as opposed to just copy what everyone else is doing. They seem to be more trendsetters.
But there's also this thing on TikTok where it's like the trending hashtag. So in order to try and get seen, people do their own videos to the hashtag. So it might be a popular voice track and they emulate that as well. So if you go on, sometimes all the videos seem the same, but the reason they're doing that is so they become seen.
Algorithm hasn't been shared, but there's a lot of different conversations going on about what it is that gets you on the page. And there were some leaked messages from the developers of TikTok, and they got slammed because basically they were saying they didn't want anyone that was ugly, fat, or disabled on the app or featuring on that page. And they were actually pushing that sort of content down so it got no views. So you can really see. And then it made me think, though, isn't it gross that they are pushing 15-year-olds that are thin and attractive and using them as their...
Like sexualizing them almost.
Yeah, like it just was gross.
Well, talking about the sexualization of some of the TikTok stars, Daisy Keish, who was a 21-year-old, she springs to mind. Now, she was introduced to us by our cousin again, who is very much into this whole hype house. Now, she, in fact, has something which is called a certified ass. Do you guys know what that is? Because I do.
I'm assuming it means she's got a really good ass, but you tell us what, what's the actual definition.
Now, I've done a bit of research into this. So Daisy has, I think it's over a million followers on Instagram. And a lot of her followers were saying that they think her bum is fake, that she's got implants or she's had some sort of surgery. Now, a bit similar to Kim Kardashian, she hit back saying, no, it's real and I'll prove it. So she locked in an appointment with a Beverly Hills plastic surgeon to run some tests on her to see if it was in fact real. Now, he
what
has
kind of tests are they?
Just he squeezes it.
Well, she actually made a full video out of it. So, I mean, I suppose x-rays. Anyway, so.
Can you fake that though?
He has
I'm guessing.
He has written something saying, yes, this is, her ass is real. It is now a certified ass.
Oh my God.
So that is a certified ass. Yeah, so she has started the trend. Well, now with Daisy, there's been a huge legal dispute breakout between her and the creator, Thomas, of this hype house. So she has come out and she has said that she should also be named a co-creator. So she has got a lawyer on board, and this lawyer has been contacting a number of big publications in America saying that they would like her to be named in some of the previous articles as a co-creator. And all of the shit went down because she changed in her Instagram bio that she was a co-creator of the hype house. And she also...
Are they living all in the house as this is happening?
Well, she has actually moved out now, but they were living in the house together. Yeah, so a big dispute broke out because she tried to copyright the hype house name. Now, she, I believe, was doing it on behalf of the whole group, but she found out the others were going behind her back to have it copyrighted as well. So this huge brawl has broken out online where they've both been revealing stuff on social media about a he said, she said type situation. Now, she has created her own house called the Clubhouse.
So was that the one that we saw on YouTube the other night?
Yeah, it's literally the same concept. It's an incredible mansion. Well, what is interesting is Daisy has come out and said that the creator, Thomas, basically she's painted him as a bit of a chauvinistic pig. And she has said she's really frustrated because she rose to fame from being an Instagram model initially. And she was portrayed very much in a way that she's just a pretty face. And she said that she wants to be recognized as having a business mind and being the creator of this great idea.
Well, it's interesting you say that about the founder, Thomas, because from what I read, he was sort of touted as the mum of the house and kind of like the manager. He organises the schedules and the timings of everything.
See, Kris Jenner.
Yeah. But also what I found interesting was Chase, or Little Huddy, which I find weird calling him that. He was asked by the New York Times because he's known for picking out influencers and spotting their talent. And he was quoted as saying, what makes up a good influencer is you have to be young. You have to have a lot of energy and personality. And honestly, a little weird. The weird people get the furthest on the internet. You either have to be talented at something or a weird, funny mix or extremely good looking. So I feel like because there's 20 people in this hype house, they must have termed, I kind of like to think of as a Spice Girl theory, how, you know, they've got Baby Spice, Scary Spice. I feel like she was the attractive one in the house. And they
she
kind
was
of,
baby.
Yeah, they kind of didn't see her as anything else. And now she's obviously getting pissed off because they're looking like these masterminds like the Jake and Logan Paul, and she's just looking like some dumb blonde, which is pretty unfair.
I don't know if it's just me, but I've noticed that so many people that are famous on YouTube and Instagram have been jumping on TikTok, especially in the last couple of weeks during isolation. But it brought up an interesting point because I feel like some people won't be able to make the transition because Instagram, I feel, is purely based on appearances and posting a photo of your ass or your tits for some girls.
Yeah, I think this is a real threat for influencers who have just rested on their laurels of being good looking and then going on YouTube and doing some lame, this is what I've eaten a day and, oh, I forgot to film it. Because these TikTokers seem very passionate and very driven. Like you can see by the hype house, they're not wanting parties. They're just wanting people to churn out content.
Do you know what? The whole influencers now jumping on board TikTok kind of reminds me of back in the day when a lot of celebrities decided not to get on board, but some celebrities decided to actually get an Instagram account, and they're the ones now that have millions and millions of followers.
Well, touching on celebrities, I suppose this whole fame game thing is a really interesting issue to delve into now that people are actually so influenced by being famous. And I was doing a bit of research into it, and back in 2006 was the time when people were starting to get famous on reality TV. And at the time, there was a study done and it looked into the fact that fame hasn't really ever been researched as a motivator for people because it's such a shallow thing, but it's completely changed in the last 14 years with the surgence of social media and influencers.
Yeah, I mean, as you touched on before, it is a main motivator for kids growing up. Now, they don't want to be a doctor or a nurse or a teacher. They want to be famous on social media.
But is it this idea of just getting to sit at home and do nothing? Is that what's appealing?
I think it's the status. I found it quite interesting because there was a study back in 1996 which revealed adults whose goals were tied to the approval of others and fame reported significantly higher levels of distress to those interested primarily in self-acceptance and friendship. So basically, if you're just all about pursuing fame, you're actually going to get really unhappy, which defeats the purpose of becoming famous.
I feel like people have always wanted to be famous, but the thing that's changed is now it's become accessible. All you need is a phone and to have some kind of sense of to post on TikTok, whatever you want. So the scary thing is that at 14, you might think you want to be TikTok famous, but when you're 21, you might decide that this is not the life for you. And then there's all these videos up that you cannot get removed.
Well, it's interesting you say that because there was a study in 2009 done with actually 15 real life celebrities who were kept anonymous in it. But they found that they had to understand that there was their authentic self and then this public self. And I feel like that's what all these social influencers are now having to understand. And even people using social platforms like ourselves, you feel like there is this different you that you put out on the platform. And then there is this real you. And there is a struggle with the people that actually even only get a little bit famous, that they still then have to deal with the come down of that fame.
Well, it is definitely very alarming because I don't think we've ever seen before such young children getting this widespread fame that is so easily accessible on these social media apps. So it will be definitely one that we watch with interest as it unfolds.
Now let's get into the pit and peak of our social media week. And the peak for me was seeing Keep It Cleaner founder Laura Henshaw share a very candid photo of herself with pimples in isolation. And I think it's something we can all relate to because I know my chocolate eating is just out of control at the moment. And she also shared another one later in the week of her sitting with her stomach. I mean, she's very thin, but it was sort of not the most flattering pose. And she was just saying that there seems to be this trend of people trying to say that we've got to make time to be the best selves in isolation and use all this time, but it's actually okay to not be completely fit and smashing all your workouts.
Well, former Miss Universe Australia Olivia Rogers has also hit out. Online, we see so many people joking, oh, I'm putting on all this weight, I'm going to roll out of lockdown. And she said it's really detrimental for our well-being to be putting out those messages like that. It's okay if we put on a little bit of weight. It's such a stressful time. Why do we have to be focused on it?
Yeah, I also heard Abby Chatfield on her podcast talking about it, and she was saying it's pissing her off that we're all meant to be learning a different language and doing all these amazing things. Can we maybe just focus on surviving this lockdown? Which I agreed with. All right, let's move on to our pit of the week. And this was a really terrible one.
It was an absolute shit show. So on Monday night, Martha and Michael from last year's Married at First Sight, they took to Instagram to supposedly share their breakup post. So these were text messages sent to each other. So for those who haven't seen it, the first was from Michael and it said, "Are you serious? You're a bit dramatic. I know you've always wanted the best of everything, but this is just one of those things that takes trial and error. I've tried over and over again to communicate, but you know, it never eventuates to anything. How many times can one person pick up the phone to figure out a problem and get no response?" And then Martha replied, "I'm so fucking done. I'm upgrading. Bye bye." And it continued with these pathetic messages back and forth. Anyway, so the thing that gave it away was the fact that obviously they were publicizing this and the fact that they tagged one another in this supposed breakup post.
Well, for anyone that's written this sort of copy before, it was quite obvious some of the key words in it about connectivity and communication that I think jumped out, that it had been written by a copywriter.
Yeah, well, because she did come out obviously the next day and say, yes, it was a big publicity stunt for this internet provider whose name I cannot recall.
But is it that wrong? I mean, we had Martha on the show and she was really, really lovely. Do you guys think that it is wrong of them to advertise like that?
Well, what I thought was wrong was the fact that Martha then went out to a bottle shop in Sydney with her sister and set up the paparazzi shot, really, of her crying in the bottle shop looking at text messages. I thought that was a bit far.
For me, the thing that I found wrong about it was that it makes a mockery of their relationship.
From a PR perspective, do you think this was a clever move by the internet provider? Well, I personally think it harnessed a lot of aggression towards the company and towards the couple.
Yeah, there were a lot of people that were pissed off about it. The fact that you can't even remember what the internet company's name was makes me think, is it a bit of a PR fail? Because I wouldn't go with them just because of this.
No, definitely not.
I mean, we're talking about them.
Well, props to them for coming up with something that's a slightly creative campaign. But at the same time, I think that it's just leveraged a lot of negativity towards their brand. And it's also been quite deceptive. So I wouldn't really then trust this internet provider when they're being misleading. So let's take a look at the stories that have been filling up our feed this week. And I think the first has to be the outpouring of celebrities that have been slammed by their followers for not following correct social distancing measures and also for being a little bit tone deaf and insensitive to the whole COVID-19 situation.
Yeah, I noticed a lot of Love Island stars from not the summer version, but the version before getting slammed. So fan favorite Amber Gill, and also do you remember Laura from a couple of seasons ago? She was like a 30-year-old air hostess.
Now this is Love Island UK you're talking about.
Oh, I don't talk about Australia.
Yeah,
she got slammed, Laura, because she had this photo of her ass hanging out of the shorter shorts, I think they're basically underpants, and saying, oh, you know, thanks, let's stay inside. And it's just using sexy photos like that to sort of spread a message. I don't know how everyone feels about that.
Well, I think in the UK that they're copping a lot of backlash because of just how severe it is. So I feel like Australian Instagrammers are getting let off the hook a little bit because we haven't witnessed the number of deaths that the UK has. Well, so I can understand how people might be lashing out.
Well, I think that Amber Gill's was a little bit more frustrating because she uploaded a photo of herself from a previous holiday and she captioned it, I thought I'd be on holiday number 5 by now, and then all these crying emojis. And a lot of people said it was very tone deaf because a lot of people are losing their loved ones and it seemed like a very privileged situation. Oh no, I can't go on another free brand trip.
Yeah, well, another Love Island star from this summer series that I think made the best of a bad situation was Shauna. So she launched her InStyle collaboration, and because they couldn't actually do any of the photographs in a professional studio, she had to do her own hair, makeup, and then shoot the photos on her iPhone of her new clothing range, which I actually thought were really cool.
Yeah, I didn't realize she did that. She's very talented in that respect.
Yeah, I saw Olivia from the second series has also done that too. So, and it's quite interesting, they're now changed the collection completely and are sharing khakis and t-shirts and hoodies, which I like because I was thinking about it the other day and I saw all these online sales and I'm like, there's no point buying anything. I literally am just going to be in leggings and hoodies for the next couple of months.
Yeah, well, going on from that, it's really interesting because although online clothing sales have dropped, beauty sales are booming at the moment as everyone is having to start their own DIY nails and DIY hair at home. So I don't know about you, but I feel like everywhere it's popping up, nail polish brands. Olivia Rogers, who we spoke about before last week, she did this campaign, well, the sponsored segment with a nail polish brand. And I have never seen it until now. It's always, you know, the influencers with their fake nails.
I've actually noticed her promoting Essie before, but I am an avid watcher of her Instagram story.
So I have spoken to a few friends who have had acrylic nails for years and years now. And one of them was saying that she has just forgotten how to do nail polish and she had to spend hours sawing off her fake SNN. But Ariana Grande has a solution. Now, she has hit her Instagram story to show us these stick-on fingernails. Have you seen them?
Are they like the ones, I remember always begging mum to get them. They got the little sticker and you press them on.
Is yeah. They sound foul. I mean, I don't know why we need fake fingernails when we're stuck at home at the moment.
But, I am so glad I got off the fake acrylic SNS nails because now I got them done at Christmas and I literally whinged the whole time and they finally grown back. Mm. So talk about good karma.
I feel like there's going to be a certain group of people that suddenly have so much money when we come out of this. The ones that are getting, you know, the weekly spray tans, the two, I don't know, how many times you get your nails done? Is it fortnightly? I don't know.
No, it's every, or you can push fortnightly. It to, you can push it to monthly, but, are you? But that's really
it's about
bad.
5 weeks. I've got no idea. I don't get my nails done.
Well, moving on to something else that has gone viral. It is a viral food trend at the moment. So have you guys noticed all the whipped coffee drinks popping
yes,
up?
This has been all over my news feed.
Well, it's called Dalgona, apparently. I don't know. It's a Korean word.
Is that how you really pronounce it?
Or
is
I'm not guess? Sure.
Just the whipped coffee
well,
challenge.
It's a Korean candy name. And I think it is so popular at the moment because obviously coffee shops, apart from takeaway, are closed down at the moment. So we've really got to be a bit more creative, one, about how we're showing off online, and two, about getting our daily coffees.
I saw YouTuber Saffron Barker do it and it seemed like too much trouble to get a frothy
I've seen
coffee.
Other people do it and I don't know why it took her so long. I think she and Anastasia King's North, Sophie's other favorite YouTuber, are quite challenged in the culinary department. Sorry, it just reminds me, I watched an epic food challenge of hers. She is known for doing reviews on McDonald's and she actually did her own how to make McDonald's
Big Mac meal, which was so funny.
There's just something so comforting about their videos at the moment. A lot of them are food videos. So it's very nice just to get, you know, a cup of tea and some Easter eggs and listen.
And talking about Easter, we really hope everyone has a fantastic Easter at home. I know the Prime Minister has all texted us today telling us to stay at home, and that's really important. And I know Amy, Sophie and I are going to be having a fun Easter at home together because we this week are going to be creating some Easter treats.
Yes, in conjunction with that, we've actually launched our outspokenmedia.com.au website, which we've got all reality TV news, influencer news. We wanted to create a space where people could go who are stuck at home and read all of the latest news, and we're going to be doing heaps of really cool videos that hopefully maybe you guys can follow along and make your own crafts or your own recipes with us.
I feel like I've hit this very kind of like nesting kind of stage. I mean, it's getting a bit cooler and you just want to, obviously you want to be inside because you can only be inside. So I think, yeah, it'd be nice to do a few of these activities. Let us know if you're going to follow any of them and do any of them. We'd love to see how yours turn out. They're probably going to be better than ours.
Yeah, I can't wait to see them. So we will be uploading those towards the end of this week. So please keep an eye out and thank you again for listening.
If you have enjoyed today's episode, we would absolutely love it if you could share it on your Instagram account. We are, of course, at outspoken_the_podcast. And if you could leave us a review, that would also be incredible.
And just to remind you, if you do want to check out our new website, it's not all up, but we thought we wanted to share it anyway, and you can check out what we've done. It's www.outspokenmedia.com.au.